Okay, Ron, thank you so much. And tonight, Steady, we started about three, a little better than 3 years ago, I guess, was a study on wisdom and how we get wisdom and how we use wisdom and what we see as God divulged to us through the Spirit, what He wants us to know concerning our path that we take, our testimony that we have, our prayer that we pray to God, that the Holy Spirit uses and honors us with a translation to the Father that probably makes more sense than we could make sense out of it. But to realize and to understand that God is all and in all, or will be, and that we took a little sidetrack here for a couple of months and looked at some studies that we did with Brother Larry Dyer back in the early 70s. And it brought back a lot of memories, and also it brought back a lot of things that I should have paid more attention to. And wish that happened all the way from my school days to even till now, simply because sometimes I'm not quite as attentive enough, and my wife always got on to me about that. She said, "Cecil, you don't pay enough attention." She said, "We'd go to somebody's house and things would be a little cool." I'll put it that way. And between the couple there, and once we got back in the car and got ready to leave, my wife looked at me and said, "Reckon what's going on?" And sometimes I'd say, "Well, it might be none of your business." But I didn't say that often, because she...
Well, you're 85 years old. That's pretty obvious.
She had a keen sense of motherly love and ESP and woman's intuition all wrapped into one thing. And you couldn't hardly fool her with, things of man that goes on between families and so on. And so, she said, "You just don't pay enough attention." And I said, "Well, maybe I don't." But I said, "You know, when I was a young kid, I was growing up through the wartime, and I blamed about everything that went on in our family, which was quite a chore sometimes. I blamed everything on the war. And part of it really was, but part of it wasn't." And so later on, and up to lately, I started writing a little story of my life. And I come to realize that more and more. And so I began to look at the written word, too, after I started trying to teach, and I realized that I didn't do enough in my English class that I should have done to make it really more practical to me, but I'm going to lay a little bit on you tonight, and then we're going to get back into Titus chapter 3. But in Titus chapter 2, what really prompted me to do all this was a verse 11 in Titus 2, verse 11, where it says, "The grace of God that brought salvation hath appeared unto all men. I said, of God, of God, of God. I never could get that out of my mind. Well, I went to appendage 17 and looked up the word of, and it says, oh, that's a genitive case of several Greek words that we find in the New Testament scripture. Of. Of, and it's used a lot of times in the Bible. And it's used by the Holy Spirit leading someone like Paul quite a few times too. So I said, well, you know, I don't know as much about the little word of as I need to. And what is the genitive case? I said, I've heard a lot of things talked about, but I said, that's prepositions in different cases. And I said, these dative cases and all these other kind of cases. But I said, why did they just pick one and put it in the Companion Bible? Well, I said, that's got to be, there's got to be an important significance there somewhere. Okay. So I'm going to explain just a little bit of it to you, but I want to get back in third chapter of Timothy. I mean Titus, I'm sorry. I keep calling Timothy and Titus different. But to realize that the genitive case of one word boils down to a bunch of other words, and it's all concerning God. Genitive, G-E-N. That is a stamp of God, just like the number 3 in Numbers is of the Godhead. And of, let me read you my notes, and you can go back to this, the remaining part of this week and for part of next week, and look at the cases in 104 of the Companion Bible in the appendix, and also the main one, 17, in the appendix is appendix 17. And it said the word of in our English version of the Companion Bible is a genitive case of 14 different Greek words that the Holy Spirit used in various ways and uses for our recognition, of which is necessary for an intelligent appreciation of the passages. And these 14 are these. They're actually 15 if you add of to it too. And that's in Appendix 17. And they are from, around, away, under, beside, upon, over, in, into, down, through, towards, with, before, and of course the word of. That makes 15 in total. And you can apply every one of them to a part of the Godhead or to all of the Godhead, if you will. So we go back to 2:11, where we went through the three men on the tree, in the tree, and up the tree. And it says, for the grace of God. God's grace, this cherish that God emits or sends forth out from the Godhead. Now these things are important that we need to look at and see a little bit. Let me get my glasses on so I can read the rest of it. And it says, and the genitive case includes several which gives the adjective particles of the noun. And they're nine in number themselves. That's in the 17th appendage. And those that have the main parts of that in number, there are nine in all, and they include God in character. You can see God in His character. You can see God in His origin, in His possession, in God's equivalence to, as apposition of relation, of materials, of contents, of partitions, and you got two genitive cases, and they depend, and they can depend upon each other, because you got three parts of the Godhead. So it's like the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't make any big deal of Himself, but He is part of Christ. And Christ deals all the time with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit cannot live in a dead body, because death is the cause of sin. And so neither of these parts of the Godhead can have any dealings with a sinful situation. And so if sin causes death, and sin brings on death, and therefore there's a way to get around that, because when Mary was implanted with this little seed in the scripture, and her being a virgin, and Joseph was told not to put Mary away, because this thing was done was a holy thing. It was of God. And it was done by the Holy Spirit or the angel. One of the main angels there, and it was for the reason for God to use His Son in a brand new way, that He would have blood, and that He would have the bread, the breath and the life like the average man, to where He could be a kinsman redeemer. And when they got to the time that these Jews thought they needed to crucify Him so bad, that they couldn't believe that He could be man and yet God. But He was and is and will be that for mankind down through the ages, because when we become a part of Him, that He is part of us. He is going to be our head, and we're going to be the rest of Him. And so we need to come to this, a little bit of this understanding. And I'm not going to hold you very long, but I wanted to bring you an example. And this example is just a skim on top of the pond, if you will, or the sea. And I want you to think about this for a minute. Gen, the very first Bible in the scripture, is Genesis. Genesis. There's God right there telling me and you and everyone else about what happened, what went on, and what carried on for a long time is man and man's life, all the way to Noah, and even through Noah and on to David. And it had a great thing to do with the children of Israel. Because here we find God promising Abram something. And then when that promise comes through with a guy by the name of Isaac, that he was carried out to the mountain and was going to sacrifice him. Even the one that he was promised, but didn't have to do that. Why? It was part of the plan of God. We're talking here about the things of God. Okay? God is power. God is love. As Titus 2:11 speaks of grace or cherish or undeserved favor or gifts. The Godhead disperses this power onto mankind in gift-related works for mankind. So consider the English word that starts with gin again and power. God is the generator of power. He's the dynamo. He is all of the power in the universe and what we know as part of God's plan and purpose for whatever he has for us out there. He controls the power. That's what Satan wanted. Satan wanted the power of the sun. He wanted to be the Son of God, or like the Son of God. He said the five I wills. I will do this. I will do that. You don't do that with the Godhead, because if you change your situation beyond what God expected of you, then you're in trouble. So, God is a gem. Ador. Jinn as a power source from God, and Tor, listen to this, G-E-N-E-R-A-T-O-R, the T-O-R is for the Son of God. Why do you say that, Cecil? I'll tell you, because in Genesis, when God dealt with Satan, he cursed him. And when he dealt with Eve, he cursed Eve, put a curse on her. But when he got to Adam, he didn't curse Adam, but he cursed the ground that he was on. And he told Adam, I have all these things for you. You can take them from the field or the trees or whatever it is that you need to take your substance from. But he didn't build him a house. He didn't build him a building. And so the Son of God did all the creating. And so the Son of God became the fabricator for the Father. So, and a fabricator is F-R-A-B-I-C-A-T-O-R. That's what they called me when I went to work in Atlanta, Georgia. Said, Cecil, you can weld as good as any man I ever seen, but we want you to be a fabricator. I said, well, what is that? Me, 19 years old, just shortly out of high school, and I'd never heard the word before. but it's used quite a lot. According from God to man, one of them is a D-O-C-T-O-R, doctor. He knows about the body that the Son of God created in the likeness of the Godhead. And that's what we're made out of. We're made out of dust in the likeness of the Godhead. And so all these T-O-R's that come up in the English language point you back to God in one way or the other. Also the gen, the G-E-N, one way or the other, or both. It goes back to that. So the Son of God came here, and it was what he made of this earth was cut and carved out of himself. So that's what a fabricator is. He can take many different things and put it together like you build in a house. You know, you've got your wood, you've got all these other materials that comes along. You've got your roof, the floor, all these things. You can put all that together and make you a dwelling from it. And that's wisdom that God gives to man. Not only the wisdom, but he also gives certain ones knowledge of things that they can use for man or to help man with. Okay, someone who can take material, okay, let's just say dust or ground, and can make man with many different specific parts and organs from one main material, or may I suggest maybe two materials. So we've been told that we're about 75% water, or the 70 to 75% thereabout, according to our weight and so on. So let's study this as to this HTO two parts. That makes up the biggest part of us. The dust only makes up a small part, because if you open a grave after so many years, there's not going to be much left but the dust. The water's going to be gone. Okay? So, H2O, two parts. The H2 is two parts. Hydro, gen. There's that word again, G-E-N. Man, God, man. Hydrogen, two parts hydrogen. And one part oxy, gen. You hear that word again? Both of these are renewable gases that's important to mankind. Hydrogen and oxygen. And we can't live without water. And that makes our water for us. Now, think about water for a minute. Water is always moving, and water can be in three parts. It can be liquid, it can be solid, or it can be gas. When the United States had the atomic submarine fleet in Charleston, South Carolina, my brother-in-law worked on the wharfs that they come into. And in Goose Creek, they take these nuclear missiles out of them subs and store them there. And South Carolina, I guess, has more nuclear stuff than any nation in the United States and maybe any place in the world. When Hugo come through and lowered and took all the pine trees out of there, went down there shortly after that looking around, and I asked my brother-in-law, I said, what's all these pipes sticking up out of the ground out here? He said, you don't really want to know. He said, it'd scare you to death. I said, well, how do you know? He said, well, I can go in there from time to time. They asked me to go in there because they got something wrong with some of the high pressure statement they use. And the city of Charleston burns their trash to make this high pressure steam. They only done it for 2 or 3 years. Now I'm going to tell you how the government works a little bit. They built all this stuff to run this high pressure steam to work on these on these nuclear subs because you can't shut them down completely. If you do, you have lots of problems because there's lots of stuff in that fresh water up there that will take over that sub if you just let it sit there empty or without any power at all. They even draw power in from 7 miles out in the ocean, run it in on a pipeline, and they circulate it through that thing all the time. These subs are sitting there. But guess what? They decided to move them things to Newport News, Virginia to work on them. Well, they still bring them down to Goose Creek and unload the missiles out of them and take them all the way up to Newport News again to work on them. Now, how much sense does that make? But that's the way man works. But you see, man is using it for a destructive purpose, basically. And so that's the way they do these things. So oxygen and hydrogen makes water, and that water is always on the move. You ever thought about that? Water comes out of the ground, different places. It collects up in what we call branches, and then into creeks, and then the rivers, and then the great big tributaries. And the biggest one we got around here is the one that flows from Georgia to Charleston, called the Savannah River. And it's always on the move. It may run through lakes, but they allow that water to drop from one lake to the next, and it goes on and on. But it's a renewal process that God has set in place. And so we have all these words there, and all this stuff from the character of God is put forth that we can know and see it. And the character of God is somewhat sort of like what we look like. Not really, I don't guess anymore, but it started out that way. And I just wanted to bring that little thought to you because it said, the grace of God, God's love comes to us by salvation, by taking away our sins. He can have that association with us because he has taken away our sins and made us holy in the sense of the word. Okay. And it hath appeared unto all men. There's nobody. These people that live in places that they don't let you have the position to know God or can know God because they hold back the information. But when Christ comes back to this earth, as he left, when he left, they said, why are you looking? He said, as he goes, he will come back in like manner. And when he comes back, there's going to be a great earthquake over there. And it's going to clean off a tremendous amount of area and space. And God's going to And the Son of God is going to set up his throne, I think, where he was crucified, because he has to represent the blood that was spilt there when they pierced his side. And I think that's where he's going to put his throne when he's here on the earth for 1,000 years. Now, you can agree with that or not. That's my thought about the whole situation as to when it's cleared off, they're not going to let him, I think, move that blood that he spilt here on the earth, because that was part of the blood that paid for your and my sins. And everybody that understands and believes God. Okay. I've got about half my time gone. But we're going to look at a little bit of chapter 3 of Titus. And I just wanted to bring that to you. When you see these odds there, you can use one of these 14 positions there. From, around, away, under, beside, upon, over, in, into, down, through, towards, with, before, and of. Because that's God's character. God does lots of things, but certainly what he is, what he was, what he is, and what he will be stays basically within the range or the cause of the purpose. And the purpose is to eradicate sin, and for him to be all in all, or the Godhead to be all in all of all the people that's are on the earth.
Amen.
Ronnie's been doing a good job in Revelations about that. And I know he says it's not an in-depth study, and it certainly isn't, because we could stay in some of these things for a long time. And so, but we try to keep it to where you're not put to sleep with what we say, and that it makes sense and it balances everything out, because God is a balancer. The scales got to be equaled out with God. It's just that way. And he can do that. Okay. Let's go and read chapter 3:1 like we've been doing. And I'll read you my notes, and then we'll read you Jack's notes, and we'll read from the translation out of the Koine Greek, and then we'll look at the scripture. And it says this. He talks about put them is he's talking about mankind here in chapter 3. Put mankind in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work. So this is Titus now that God's that Paul is dealing with. And I think Titus is a little older and a little more in tune maybe with some of the things that are being said by the Apostle Paul than Timothy was, because Timothy had a little occasion sometimes to drift around a little more than some of the rest. And so it says to put them, mankind, in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, and to obey magistrates, and to be ready for every good work. Well, I know a little bit about this, but not a whole lot, because I was a magistrate for a little better than 7 years before I gave it up. And I come to find out and to understand that to be a judge, even in one of five in a county that deals with the things going on in the county, was not my bag. If you really want to know what goes on in your community, you go ask the magistrate or justice of the peace. If they really wanted to, they could fill you full of things that you didn't know that was going on in your community, and even more so now than it was back when I was doing it. So this is appointed verse of scripture for me. Okay, put thee of mankind in mind, Titus, to be subject to exousia, which is authority with power to obey. And all of this concerning the law has a beginning. In the beginning of rule, there is magistrates. If you need a warrant for something or somebody, if you feel like you've been done an injustice, then you go to a magistrate and get a paper. And sometimes the paper will say, bring the body of. You don't mean to kill him either, because if you take your justice out on him, then you're going to be the one that's going to have to go in with the body.
If you get the body of, the rest of him will come along.
Yeah. So Christ, and the reason of this, because Christ is the chief of these, and he's the chief of that because he bought and paid for you and me.
Amen.
Christ has and is the resurrection and the life, and he is the heir of all things. So be ready to allow the Holy Spirit's knowledge of the good works that's mentioned there and the rest of that verse of scripture. And there's about five or six places that we need to look to, but let's look and see what Jack said about it first of all. Chapter 3, verse 1. And this is out of the Greek. And I can't read Greek, but Jack has done the work for me by putting it in English the way it should be more rendered than the King James Version. It says, put in remembrance them to rulers, to authorities, to be subject, to be obedient. Let me turn the page. And the renewing spirit of holy. And on down into more modern English, Jack says this, not out of works of these righteousness which we have done, but rather according to his mercy. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And then Jack's note says this, one of the great salvation's texts of these scriptures, this tells us that none of our works is able to contribute to the finished work of Christ on the cross. When Christ said, it is finished, he meant that nothing could be added in the future to contribute anything to man's salvation. Now, if you're a Mason, that might curl your toes a little bit. Because that's not exactly what they teach. He only could bear the load of any and all men's sins. His sacrifice alone was acceptable to God. You can't add anything to it. He came for that purpose, and he was able to accomplish our redemption. And mercy was a byword. Grace to all men is his offer. The washing is the washing clean of sins. The sinner is regenerated. Do I need to say that again? The sinner is regenerated. The gen there is God provided the cleanse or the cleansing power. And generated also is the way the power comes to us. It is generated by God himself. Marred creation will be regenerated. The Holy Spirit within the believer will carry him along unto renewed life and life pleasing to his Savior. Okay, so we got some verses here that we need to look at. And I don't think I put the right ones in. There. So I don't have them. Galatians 3. No, I was on the wrong page, I think, when I did that. My page must have flopped over with me. Let me look and see where I got that from. Oh, I got it from verse 10 of Titus. No, verse Deuteronomy. Let me look. Somewhere here. Oh. Wait just a minute. I'll get it straight in a minute, folks. Yeah. I was right. I don't know why I didn't see it to begin with, but here we go. Let's look at Jack's verses of scripture we need to look at. First off, and I think I'm online now, is to go back to Deuteronomy 1. And Deuteronomy 1:17, and that's on page 238 that we're going to look at. Miss Dorothea says she likes the way I do it, so I'll keep doing it that way. Page 238, Deuteronomy 1:17, and it says this: "Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it to me, and I will hear it. And I command you at that time the things which you should do." 1:17 and 18 of Deuteronomy. Okay. Now, we're going to go from Deuteronomy to Luke 20. But that's what Jack wanted us to look at way back there. And we'll go to Luke chapter 20. And that's on page 1494, what we're going to look at. And we're going to read verses 17 through 20 of Luke 20. Luke 20, 17 through 20. And I think, and this is something that's been written before. And it says, "And he beheld them and said, What is this that is written? The stone which the builder rejected, the same is become the head of the corner." So that is a foretelling of Christ. Okay? In 17. And it says in 18, "Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priest and the scribes at the same hour sought to lay hands on him," that's Christ, "and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and set forth spies that should feign themselves just men so that they may take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and the authority of the governor." And we went through all this. And that's what they did. And the governor said, "I find no fault in this man. What are you wanting to charge him with? I can't find any fault in him." But you see, this was the children of God. This was the children of Israel that was doing this. Them and their chief priests and their scribes, the men that dealt with the law and the dealings of the things of the church and all with those people in that day. That was Luke 20, 17 through 20. Okay, let's go from Luke to the book of Acts. Acts 5. I'll get there in a minute. We're going to Acts 5. We're going to look at 28. We're going to look at 28 through 31 in Acts 5. And it said, let's go to 26. "Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest and asked them, saying," excuse me, "Did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood upon us." And here he's talking about, I don't know who's with Peter here. Maybe
other apostles.
Huh?
It says then Peter and the other apostles.
Okay. Yeah. We know who the other apostles.
Yeah.
Okay, it's John.
James and John, yeah.
Yeah. "Then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Then God, the God of our father raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things." We are witnesses these days. Yeah, you don't see John's name written very much in Scripture because when Christ was on the cross and he said, "Woman, look at me." And he was looking for somebody to take care of Mary, his earthly mother. And John was there. It doesn't tell you in Scripture that John was there, but John's wife evidently was there. And so we know that this was written by John, so John was there. But he doesn't use his own name. And when you get to Revelations, he doesn't use his own name very much, if you notice. But he is always known as the apostle of the other apostle, or the apostle that Jesus loved. Because the last thing he done before he drunk the vinegar or whatever it was that they were offering him to drink, which they offered it about five times, I think. And he finally drank the drink and he says, "It is finished," because he knew from John by a nod or something that John was going to take care of Mary. Because I think Joseph was already dead, maybe at that point. Okay. That's Acts 5. Okay. We're going to go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1:20, I believe. Ephesians 1:20-23. And this is on page 1762. And we're going to read the rest of the first chapter here. He says, "Which he wrought in Christ, which he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power." There we go back to the principality and power again. And might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And this, my friends, is the pleroma of Christ, the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to look at another place or two here in Ephesians, and we're going to go to Ephesians 3, which is another page or two over, and we're going to look at 10 through 12, and that's on page 1764. 10 through 12, and it says now in Ephesians again, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Let me read that again. "To the intent now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the assembly the manifold wisdom of God according to eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him," Christ. Amen. One other place, and I want to look at chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 of Ephesians. Ephesians 6. We'll get there in just a second. We're going to look at 9 and 10. "And it said, and you masters do the same thing unto them." of those who own slaves. Forbearing. You masters do the same things as to them, forbearing threatenings, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is their respect of person with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that you put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I'll put these two places back because I'll get them later. Okay. So that's all in Ephesians, and we're going to go to Colossians next. And we're going to look at Colossians 1, 16 through 19. Colossians 1, 16 through 19. It said, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and all in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Full stop. "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the assembly, or the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence." Why? For it pleased God the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. We just add 20 to it. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." One more in this verse of scripture, and it's in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. It is a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." And so that's what Jack has given us in Titus 3:1. And I'm out of time already. So, we'll leave off with just doing one verse of scripture. I had another one ready, but, I won't hold you to it because it might be getting late where we are here now. So, we'll pick that up the next time and go on, and we might do a little more about this word gin. I've got notes made all over the place in my dining room table, or on the dining room table, not in the table, but on the table, that I want to bring a little more out of that, but I'm not going to bend your ear with 30 minutes worth of it. Next week, we'll still have, but we'll look at these words that deal with the Godhead. in the terms of things that we can more truly understand as we go along, because all these things bring out these nouns to a form that shows you and me how much God cared for us. Mm-hmm. And that these gifts he talks about and the life and all that we have and all that he's given us to be thankful for. We need to know and understand that, because sometimes the Holy Spirit has to get involved because we don't say it like we ought to say it. And that he can interpret it for God that makes it right, makes it workable through God's will. Thank you for being with us. And we'll keep driving along. We'll get through Titus in a little bit, but it's something that sometimes we don't appreciate what God has done for us. It's so great and so massive that we just don't fully understand it sometimes. And that's the way I was when I was in school. Our principal went out and got us the college entrance exam, or the closest thing we could get to it. And there was 100 of us in high school. Not in my grade, but in high school, 9 through 12. Everybody in 9 through 12 got the same test. And I was a C student. But when he gave us that test, I made the highest mark of anybody in the whole school. And I almost got marks on my rear end because of that. Because Mr. Nally got down the Board of Education and he says, "I'm a good man to use it on you, young man." He said, "You've already told me that you can do a lot more than you do." And I've never forgot that. So when I got a job in Atlanta, and they said, "Oh, you're going to be a fabricator here," I said, "You got to tell me what that is." And I found out what it was for 3 years that I was there. And that has been with me the rest of my life. And so I'll just have to say, nah, I didn't listen as good as I should have. But thank you for being with me.